This is one of my favorite songs. It really is. And it fits right into, I think, my Irish folk music style that I'm genetically inclined to. You know, that Irish beat and tune? You know, it's the rhythm that reminds me of my grandpa. My grandpa used to play the spoons in his kitchen band. If you ever have seen one of those, you know, he'd get down and start, "Build your kingdom here." And I'm going to ask Cheryl if I can play him next week. He'd fit right in with this band. It is kind of fun. It's lively. It gets a hold of me. It makes me want to dance a little bit. How about you guys? You too? Did you move a little while we were singing? Yeah? Well, it's the kind of song that allows us to engage, to enter in, to do that. Do you have a favorite song too? Do you have one of those songs that, you know, when you hear it, you just want to belt out the music? Yeah? What are some of those songs? What is that song that really just gets you going? Do you have one? Let me hear it. Reckless Love, there you go. We're going to get you up here next time and sing that one. Yeah, there we go. Jesus, I believe. There we go. Any others? You sing. You say. You say. There we go. So these songs that take hold of us, you know, that grab our attention, there's something in them that kind of gives us this vision. You know, there are a few songs in our lives like that. Songs that when we hear them, they kind of ignite our imagination. They allow us to enter in and to really hope for and long for the things that are being spoken about in that the vision of the lyrics. And I think Build Your Kingdom Here, that for me certainly is one of those songs. And it's going to be our theme song for this Advent series, these 4 weeks that lead up to Christmas, as we describe what it means to build your kingdom here. So the message and the words in these songs have a good theological content, which really means that it's biblically true, it's sound, it lines up. And one of the things that it ends with is, we pray. So we're going to do that right now. Let's bow our heads and pray. God, we thank you for your kingdom vision, Lord, that comes upon us, that you have instilled in us, Lord, as your church. And I pray today that as we hear these words, as we reflect on your scripture, Lord, that you will speak to our hearts and to our minds, and Lord, ignite in us this kingdom vision that carries us into your reality, into your future, into your eternity. And so, Lord, build your kingdom here, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. If we really anticipate the future that this song speaks about, then we have this grand sweeping vision, really, for the future of the church. It envisioned the kingdom darkness being pushed back, you know, the light of Christ flooding out into the world. It envisions this mighty strength of God that is healing in communities and in people's lives. There's this vision of the Spirit igniting the church to pursue its mission in all its fullness and all its glory. And the whole land really is being transformed by the presence of the kingdom of God in their midst. Like, what a vision, right? What an experience this would be. You know, that's the future vision, really, that the prophets saw and spoke about for the Messiah's coming. And it's the vision that we keep in view as we look towards Jesus' second coming. As Katie said, did you know Jesus is coming back? And we hold on to this kingdom vision as we wait, as the church. So as much as I like the song, and I really do, there's one question that needs answering. And we sing, Build Your Kingdom Here. And my question then is, where is here? Where is that? Where do we want to see the kingdom built? So if you're taking notes today, there's really only two lines that you need to write down today, and I'll point those out when they come along so you can just kind of listen along. On the cover of your bulletin, you see this picture of a barn. It looks just like the barn that was on my parents' farm when I was growing up. And in that barn, there were animals. I'd have to go into there every day and feed. It was full of pigs. You know, and pigs, you know, they're sweet animals, right? No, actually, they stink, they're dirty, they're dusty, And that was where I spent a lot of my time on the farm with the pigs. I'm so glad to be out of there. But the question is, you know, is that a place where God would want to build his kingdom? In the barn? Years ago? No. You know, sometimes small places like Wheaton or the communities around Rossholt, Graceville, Norcross, Dumont, sometimes those are overlooked when we think about this grand kingdom vision and kingdom building projects that God is doing. But does God want to build his kingdom in our communities? How about at school where you are every day? Is God in Pearson? Is God at the high school? Does God want to build his kingdom in the school? You know, is kingdom building taking place in the tractor cab or the truck or the car as you drive the kids around? Is that a place where God is at work building his kingdom? Or maybe even around the dinner table in our homes as we sit down to eat, or maybe having coffee with the neighbors and friends at the coffee shop. Is that a place where God is building his kingdom? Where is the kingdom? How about right here in the sanctuary? You know, if we wanted to build the kingdom, do we add on and build more space in that? And that means the kingdom will grow, the kingdom will build. You know, what are we asking really when we sing, build your kingdom here? Jesus told the Roman official in his trial, he said, my kingdom is not of this world. That's interesting, because even though we somehow recognize that the kingdom is present, its influence is around us, it's not like earthly kingdoms. It's not necessarily something we put our finger on. He says in another place, the coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, here it is or there it is. So if the kingdom's timing is not observable, then the question remains, where is the kingdom of God? Well, to find the kingdom, we need to look for a key. And the key to the kingdom is finding the king. It's interesting, as I look out in the crowd, I see some of you have changed places. That's interesting. I'm finding, you know, others around here. It's messing me all up. So to find the kingdom, we need to find the king, right? And so in the movie, the series, The Lord of the Rings, maybe you've seen it in the last movie, The Return of the King, the kingdom of Gondor is failing. You know, they're about to be overrun by the evil forces that are attacking them, and the line of kings who should be ruling, who should be defending, who should be protecting, they have long since failed. And so there's no king to take the throne. There's only this faint hope that a long-lost descendant from the line of kings is out there that may come. You know, the plot line is interesting. It comes right out of the history of God's people in the Bible. I mean, we can follow it almost line for line. The scripture readings for Advent in these 4 weeks leading up, they provide us clues for this kingdom search. The trajectory of the Old Testament, as it moves forward, it talks about this groundwork for the future coming king. Because the line of kings in Israel, as we have read through the prophets this fall, has failed, right? There is no righteous king to take the throne. But the prophets reveal that God will fulfill his promise to Abraham and to all of Israel, that a righteous king from the line of David, just as promised, will come, will sit in the throne. So that righteous king, Jeremiah, speaks about. He says, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good promise I made to the people of Israel and Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior. So this breaking in of the rule and the reign of the righteous descendant of David is the pivotal event in the history of God's people. And we know it has already taken place, right? It's what we celebrate in the birth of the Messiah, in the birth of Jesus. The righteous king has come. God entered the world and established his kingdom through the king. So this grand and sweeping vision that we have for the future of the church that we heard in the chorus, that is our theme song, this is what the disciples witnessed when they were with Jesus when he walked the earth. He was building his kingdom, and they saw the kingdom where darkness was pushed back. You know, episodes and instances where demonic forces were actually moved out of the way by the power and presence of the righteous king, where God's mighty strength was demonstrated as Jesus healed all kinds of people of all kinds of diseases. It was amazing as we read how the power of God is at work. You know, Jesus gave his disciples authority to go out and carry on his mission, and they did. In Jesus' name, they did the same things that Jesus did. And the whole land around Galilee, they experienced this presence of the kingdom of God in dramatic fashion, amazing ways. The people were in awe of the kingdom of God. So they could have really been singing this song today, couldn't they? Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Build your kingdom. All because this promised rule and reign of the king had finally arrived. And this is kind of the first answer to our question about where is the kingdom being built. You know, it's where the rule and the reign of Messiah is realized. And so if you're taking a note, number one, the kingdom represents the rule and reign of Jesus, the king. In other words, this language of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, it actually speaks about the reign, the rule of Messiah Jesus. So it's not about an earthly kingdom in that sense. It's more about the reign of Jesus in his kingdom. So Peter is the first of his followers, really, to grasp this. And so we think about this. Imagine yourself as Peter. You have spent time with Jesus. You are seeing unimaginable things take place, right? The power and manifestation of the Spirit of God taking place. Miracles are happening. Healings are taking place. Evil spirits are being driven out. There's no question the kingdom of God is breaking in. Jesus is teaching with authority that has never been seen before in all of Israel. So if you were in Peter's place, you would say, something very different is happening. There's something different about this Jesus. And Peter knew it too. The scripture says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist." Good answer. Some say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. You know, the prophets had the Spirit of God on them. They were able to demonstrate some marvelous kinds of works. "But what about you?" Jesus asked. "Who do you say I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." So Peter got it right. That's good, right? But it was not on Peter's own. Peter saw something different. You and I, we can see something different. But God revealed to Peter that this was the rule and reign of the king, of Jesus, Messiah. So when we envision Jesus' kingdom building, we are inviting this same rule and reign of Jesus wherever the kingdom is being built. This was experienced in his first coming. It's taking place now, and we await his second coming. So Jesus gives us this clue to where it all takes place, and we pick it up in the rest of this conversation that Jesus has with Peter. Jesus says, "And I tell you that you are Peter," which is Cephas, the Aramaic meaning massive rock. You know, sometimes we've heard this possibly defined as a small stone. But in the Aramaic, behind the Greek used here, this means like big rock, big stone. This is large and massive. So Jesus is saying, on this rock, Peter, Cephas, I will build my church. And the gates of Hades, the gates of hell, will not overcome it. So Jesus builds his rule and reign on, in, those like Peter, who through divine revelation trust that Jesus is the Messiah. So, building his church upon those who understand this revelation of God that Jesus is the Messiah. So when we confess Jesus, we come under his rule. We come under his reign. We come under his lordship, under his kingship. And sometimes we think, oh, I don't know if I want to be under somebody's reign like that. But we can be assured that when it's Jesus, the suffering servant, the Messiah, the Son of God, that this is a good reign. This is a good rule. This is a righteous rule. This is the one who will accomplish all of God's good purposes in our lives. We can trust this one who went to the cross and died for us so that we could be restored to relationship with God. He's a good, good king. So the reign of Christ is displayed in the church, one believer at a time. When we profess in Jesus, we are built into the church. And so this is number two. You can put this down. Jesus builds his kingdom in the church. Jesus builds his kingdom through the church. So again, if we follow the idea here, if we trust Jesus, we come under his rule and reign, the reign of the Messiah, right? That's a good thing. But not only that, but we also become his followers, and his followers become the messianic kingdom. There is no king without a kingdom. So where does Jesus reign? Who does he reign over? Those who trust and believe in his reign. The church, the followers of Jesus. So we actually become the church. Jesus is building his kingdom through faith in the church. So as the church is built, so goes the kingdom of heaven. So here's the implication for us. As the church, under the rule and reign of Jesus, you and I are made for impact. Impact. We're made for this grand sweeping vision of the future of the church that we sang about. You know, we are impacting the kingdom where darkness is being pushed back, where evil is being overcome by the love and grace of God demonstrated through the church, through you and me. We're impacting a kingdom where God's mighty strength is healing our communities, you know, where God is restoring relationships and restoring people to wholeness in him. We are part of the kingdom and impacting where God's Spirit is igniting the church to fulfill its mission, where hurting people are actually helped in this world, and where lost people who don't know the way, who don't know the Bible, who don't know Jesus, are being found and welcomed in to the rule and reign of Christ. We are part of this impacting the whole land that's being transformed by the presence of the kingdom of God, where followers of Jesus are making followers of Jesus. So Jesus describes this impact in Mark 4. And I think it's kind of surprising. I think it's something that we want to understand and hold on to. Jesus said, "This is what the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. And by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. And as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." You know, I'm all about cooperating with the Holy Spirit and moving with God as he directs us and leads us in his mission. But sometimes I think we underestimate the sovereign work of God. In other words, I think we underestimate the reign and rule of Christ in our lives and how he is at work building his kingdom in us. You know, the Holy Spirit is the one who brings us to faith in Jesus. It is by grace we claim nothing, only that Christ accepts and forgives us. And he accepts us as children under his rule and reign. He's the good, good father who loves us unconditionally. And he fulfills his purpose for us and in us and empowers us through the Holy Spirit to demonstrate his kingdom love to those around us. And here's the point. I think here's the kicker. Even when we don't realize it's happening, right? That as followers of Jesus, under his rule and reign, God is doing marvelous and amazing things in your lives even if you don't know it, even when you don't realize it. The seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. So here's our invitation. Let Jesus plant you. Let the King reign in you and me, and he will build his kingdom here. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are at work around us. We thank you that you rule and reign in our lives. And Lord, we thank you that we begin to understand that this work is a work of grace. Lord, that you are doing amazing things in us and through us and to us and with us, all around in ways, Lord, that we don't even imagine. But Lord, we ultimately get to look forward to this day when you return, when your rule and reign goes on for eternity. Lord, that this life being a short instant is all preparation for the life to come. And Lord, it will be glorious. It will be grand. It will be the fulfillment of all you have in store for your people. May we hold on. In Jesus' name, amen.